The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning and happy Pentecost. I'm really excited today. I love this day of the church year. In fact, maybe you know this or don't know this, but today is actually as big of a celebration in our church life, in our church calendar, as Christmas and Easter. The coming of the Holy Spirit is a really, really big deal. I mean, we can just look at the words from Scripture today that tell us a little bit about that. The apostles hanging out in the upper room, flooded with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire. They jump outside and they proclaim the good news of Jesus in all of these languages. And Peter says that they're not drunk, that the words of Joel are being fulfilled, that in the last days God declares that God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, that sons and daughters shall prophesy, shall speak of the good news of God, and young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams, and even slaves, both men and women, will speak of the goodness of God and God's mighty power. It's incredible, the power and the capacity, the opportunity of the Holy Spirit. So here's my evangelical disclaimer. For the rest of this sermon, I might sound a little Pentecostal, but I want you to realize and hear me say that I'm coming from a deeply ingrained and Episcopal understanding of the Holy Spirit, for I'm an Episcopal priest. So I encourage you to remain open to what I have to say as an Episcopalian to other Episcopalians and our Episcopalian understanding of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to ask you to drink strychnine or hold snakes. But maybe some speaking in tongues. Maybe not today. But definitely, definitely be open to the fact that miraculous deeds are ahead. Because the truth is that there is a power from God, the Advocate, as Jesus calls him or her, that is available to us. And this power will transform our lives and through our lives will transform the world. So let's just look at the early apostles as an initial example. Peter, James, John, the other 11. When Jesus was arrested, they ran. They abandoned him. For most of their time with him, they had no clue what he was talking about. They were confused and bewildered. At the cross, they were nowhere to be found. In fact, Peter denied him three times. And then Jesus is resurrected, and yes, they see that he is alive, that the world that is to come of God's glory is there. But there's still a bunch of guys hanging out in a room going, what's next? And then the day of Pentecost comes. and they are flooded with the Holy Spirit, and they become the beginning of the body of Christ, which you and I are an extension of today. That instrument that God uses to fulfill God's purpose in the world. And so on this day, thousands of years ago, they stood up in that city and they proclaimed God's good news. And from there they went on and continued to proclaim it in Jerusalem and in the world beyond. And that word spread and their lives were transformed so that those disciples, apostles who abandoned God, 9 of the 11 died for their faith. Peter, who was sentenced to be crucified, felt unwilling and unable to be crucified like Jesus was, so he, in his respect for Jesus, asked to be crucified upside down. The men who once betrayed Jesus gave their lives for Jesus because the Holy Spirit transformed those lives. We can look at the initial apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul, originally Saul, was a faithful and high-ranking Jew whose job it was to go around the known world at that time, find the Christians, and have them killed. Paul, the instrument of death for the church, became the instrument of life for the Gentiles. Holy Spirit transformation. And through these early lives, the apostles, Paul, and others like them, in a matter of decades, a fraction of an instant in historical time, the story of Jesus and his transformative power and the power of the Holy Spirit went to the far edges of the known world. We can look throughout history and see other examples of Holy Spirit transformation. St. Francis, from wealthy, spoiled kid to a champion for the poor. And others like Martin Luther King or Thomas Cranmer, Mother Teresa, Dorothy Day, Desmond Tutu, these are people who surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit, and through them, the world was transformed. And it's important for us to recognize that this power is not only here, but available. Because unfortunately, when we look out at the world around us often, it can look bleak. We see tragedies like the earthquake in Nepal. We see war around the world that kills hundreds of thousands and displaces millions. We see tragedies of abuse of power where people die in police custody, and other headlines of injustice and oppression. And beyond headlines, there's our personal lives, where we can have everyday oppression or opportunities, or not opportunities, but moments of disconnection and inhumanity. The truth is that the world needs to be healed. We need to be healed. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit is here. It is the Holy Spirit's purpose, and indeed our instruments of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to be a part of that transformation. So how do we do that? I'm going to offer two little examples, one from a non-Christian perspective and another one from a Christian perspective, but they say, I think, the same thing. Perhaps one of the most powerful movements in the last 100 years of the Holy Spirit has been the 12-step recovery fellowship programs that have literally transformed millions of people's lives. And there are 12 steps, and the second step says that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So people's lives who've been rocked with alcoholism or addiction or a myriad of things, at the beginning of their recovery process, a part of that process is to come to believe that a power greater than themselves could restore them to sanity. And I'm told that one of the suggestions of someone who's having difficulty with that is simply to initially believe in the possibility that there is a possibility that a greater power could restore them to sanity. Open the door just a crack, and the Holy Spirit will flood in. The second example comes from the author and a biblical scholar, Walter Brueggemann. Now, Walter Brueggemann has written dozens of books, but one of his overarching themes is that one of the most powerful things we can do as Christians is to live our lives as if there is a loving, intimate, and powerful God active in our lives. To live our lives as if God was actively active in them. These are the invitations to crack the door, to live our lives knowing and relying on what the last 2,000 years of Christianity has easily shown us. The Holy Spirit is here and wants to transform us. In just a couple minutes, we're going to baptize some people. We're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit entering their hearts and including them in the fullness of the community of God. This is a moment where we celebrate, where we practice, where we participate and proclaim that the Holy Spirit is here and wants to transform us, is transforming us. And so the invitation, again, now and in every moment of our lives, crack the door. Live your lives as if God was intimately, lovingly, and actively involved for your transformation and for the transformation of the world. Amen.